So you've got a couple cases here of FLT3 mutant AML, and there's certainly a lot going on there. Maybe we can just briefly go through them, beginning with your 26-year-old lady.
So the 26-year-old, and this has just gotten approval, this combination for frontline therapy. This was a patient who was entered a number of years ago on our international trial led by the Alliance, the group in which we participate, led by my colleague, Rich Stone. And this trial was an international trial testing in a double-blind placebo-controlled fashion the addition of an early FLT3 inhibitor, mitostorin, to frontline treatment and consolidation therapy for patients with FLT3 mutant AML, both internal tandem duplication and kinase domain mutation AML. And it was a very, very huge effort to do this trial. I commend Rich and my colleague Dick Larson for sort of spearheading the efforts internationally for this trial.
And I got to say, too, because, you know, there was that trial, there was the plenary presentation at ASH, and then the year before that was sorafenib. But, you know, just before you get into it, that was the time that for me, all of a sudden, I was thinking, wow, I think things are about to change.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, really, it is quite exciting. And even though the data suggests that the survival advantage is small, I think it's a very important advantage.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been so long since anything happened.
Exactly.
To me, just seeing that something was happening and that they pulled this trial off.
Yes, that was a huge success. It was really the first such trial to use huge screening process to enroll patients internationally. And because these diseases are rare and because the subset, this is a common subset in AML, up to 25% of adults with AML will have a FLT3 mutation. But even so, thousands of patients got screened for this trial before the numbers were finally accrued. And it showed a significant benefit to the addition of mitostorin. And that benefit, interestingly, persisted even in the patients who got transplanted, which is the current recommendation to still move forward with an allogeneic transplant in first remission for FLT3 mutant AML. And 40% of the patients on the big international trial did go forward with transplant in first remission.
I'm just kind of curious now that this is being used in clinical practice, and this lady, I guess we should say, did really well. She went into CR and then got transplanted. What's her current situation?
She's in remission, which is wonderful. There's a big controversy now, too, about whether or not these inhibitors should be added post-transplant,
right,
similar to the pH-positive patients. That wasn't one of the aims of this trial, and there are studies going on in the transplant communities looking at different FLT3 inhibitors frontline post-transplant to prevent relapse. And of course, as you probably know, there are many other very, very potent FLT3 inhibitors that are moving up forward in the relapse setting. And actually, that goes to that 76-year-old patient of mine.
I want to hear about that, but just to finish out in terms of this upfront story. So today, right now, if this 26-year-old woman presented to you, what kind of trial would you be thinking about, and what kind of non-trial therapy? And if you were going to use mitostorin, which I assume you would, how would you use it, and would you use it after transplant?
Well, I would use it exactly how it was published in the New England Journal, and I would use it frontline, and we are using it frontline. Right now, there is in the U.S. no frontline trial for FLT3 mutant AML in the U.S. intergroup. I'm sure there are centers that are doing other trials. So I would use it. I would still take this patient to transplant. Whether or not a FLT3 inhibitor should be used in the post-transplant setting, the data are not out yet. And I think it's reasonable if they're tolerating it, but there's really no data yet, I think, to support it.
What kind of tolerability issues do you see with just mitostorin alone?
I have never used the drug alone, but clearly we could almost tell the patients who are on the drug because there is GI toxicity. All of the FLT3 inhibitors that we've used have some GI toxicity, some more than others, but that's the main toxicity and some cytopenias.
When you look at a patient like this globally in your own mind, or even if the patient asks you starting out, what would you say the likelihood is of being cured in this situation through transplant? And how is that likelihood affected by using mitostorin in your own mind?
Well, what the trial showed was that there was an 8% improvement in survival with the addition of mitostorin. And the overall survival on that trial, actually, I'm embarrassed, I don't remember, but it's around, for the patients who prolonged survival, who got mitostaurin. I believe that survival was close to 60% overall survival on that trial.
And when you say survival, are you talking about cure?
Potentially cure. Yeah, this is long-term follow-up now on this trial. And the Kaplan-Meier curve is very flat after about 4 or 5 years. Very flat.